Good morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll be discussing the writing conference, Can Good Writing Be Taught? I'm Joan Ziemba for George Mason University. A new type of program has grown up around universities across the country, the writing conference. And thousands who have always dreamed of writing the great American novel are now actually doing it. Many are housewives, high school teachers, undergraduates, or government workers. All are seeking the stimulation of working with famous authors and fellow aspiring novelists. The reasons for enrolling in a writing program may vary as broadly as their backgrounds in literature, but they are currently filling the classrooms at over 20 colleges and universities in the Washington, D.C. and Virginia area. With us today to discuss the academic and practical value of writing programs is Stephen Goodwin, director of George Mason University's writing program and coordinator of this April's Spring Literary Symposium at George Mason. Stephen, is creative writing, novels, short stories, poetry, is it a discipline that can be studied and taught like any other discipline?
Not exactly like any other discipline. It can certainly be studied and taught. The cliche about this is that you can teach people technique, you can teach them craft, but you cannot teach them talent. And like any cliche, there's a certain amount of truth in it. I think, however, that very often people don't know whether or not they have talent until they have learned something about craft and technique. Without knowing that, it's very hard to isolate or to judge anything about a person's talent. You can see that somebody who writes clever letters, for instance, you might say, well, this person ought to be a good writer. But that doesn't necessarily translate. I think that the writing of fiction, the writing of poetry, is artful in the sense of the artful dodger, requires something slightly different from the kind of charm that might be expressed in other informal writing.
What's the importance of a close association with a published writer? There are a number of books out on how to write successfully, how to write a short story that'll teach a certain amount of technique or craft skills. But there seems to be a desire for and a close association with a published author, someone who can give direction.
Well, I think that there is a real value in working closely with a published writer, and it's not so much that that writer gives direction, but a writer who is good has probably made considerable sacrifice in order to be good. Sacrifice is another cliche. Maybe it's wrong to put it that way. But most writers who have ever done anything decent have struggled and worked very hard to do it. And I think that an awful lot of people begin to write out of because they have an itch, and I think it's important to them to discover that if they want to write well, they have to be willing to give to it exactly what a good writer has given to it. And that's something that's a little bit difficult to imagine. I think it helps people to understand really the magnitude of what they're undertaking if they work closely with a good writer.
Have we had a response from students in terms of the writers that Mason has had in their Writers in Residence program with Margaret Atwood and C.D.B. Bryan?
I have had an excellent response. I think that the visitors who've come to the campus this year they've been varied. We've been very lucky in that most of them have been really willing to work with students. That's not always the case with visitors. Sometimes they just want to take the money and run. But I think they've really given enormously to the students, and they can give something that permanent faculty here cannot give because they're here for a short time. I think there's a degree of candor and intensity in the workshops that they've led that is a little different from the tone or atmosphere of a workshop that's going to go on for a whole semester.
In the past, Mason has had writing conferences of fairly good size with a number of well-known published writers, poets, novelists, all kinds. This year, I understand we have a different type of writing conference in the form of a literary symposium.
That's right. There will be a number of very noted writers here for 2 days, and they include the English novelist D.M. Thomas, South African novelist Nadine Gordimer, poet James Merrill, Bill Matthews, Myra Sclareu. In any event, this group will be assembled here, and there will be several readings, but there will also be lots of talk. I always thought that the conferences here in the past had much to recommend them, but that one of the best things about them was something that people didn't get to see, and that was the kind of talk among these people who may or may not know each other when they arrive, but this talk was mostly done privately. This time it will be done publicly. The specific topic that these people are going to talk about is tradition, and I assume that it will be talked about in the widest sense. And of course, it's a vital matter. What role does tradition have in the making of literature and then the understanding of it? Anytime you begin to write, you're really following. You're taking part in history. It's not as if you're not the first person to sit down and do it, and whether you know it or not, an awful lot of what you want to do is probably determined by the writers whom you've liked and admired. As a matter of fact, it's almost impossible for me to imagine somebody wanting to write without having at some point been a great and avid reader. I suppose somebody with an enormous vanity might want to write without ever having read anything. But most people who write have, it turns out, and it's not accident, have been people who were very much moved by books, to whom books are important. And what they want to do as writers is reproduce that experience, recreate an experience of that kind for somebody else, for another reader. And without that sort of background, I don't think writing can be anything but vanity. But anyway, anyone who has read is conscious in some way of tradition, and I think that this is the simplest explanation for the importance, the central importance of the topic.
One of the points you just made in terms of the importance of literature to someone who is serious about writing, I think is a question that's come up in the validity of a lot of writing conferences these days, that much of the audience are non-literature background mm-hmm. people. They maybe work for a defense plant or are housewives or people who have had a longing to write but perhaps don't have a strong mm-hmm. background in literature or traditional literature. They may be reading popular books.
Well, when I'm talking about tradition, I think I'm talking about it in the most general way. There is, of course, a great tradition in so-called, and this is what people study in universities. They learn that Spencer begat Shakespeare, begat Milton, begat Pope, and you get a kind of biblical genealogy of writers, and you trace it through English literature. I assume that the other literatures are taught in very much the same way. But all reading, really, it belongs to a kind of... I mean, if you think just about certain kinds of genre novels now, we're not talking about high art, we're talking about Gothic romances. Well, there's a tradition there. And there's no reason why that mightn't be used in serious literature, nor is there any reason to scorn those people who write and read those books. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But my point is simply that every kind of writing does have some kind of history and some kind of background. You're not doing it as if from scratch. W.S. Merwin somewhere has a wonderful line about the first composer. The first composer could hear only the notes which he created. I mean, and it's a strange little thought. I mean, if you think of the first person who ever wrote any music, how do you know there is such a thing as music? Or the first person who ever wrote a poem, well, what was he doing? I mean, why did he decide that it should rhyme? Well, probably so that it could be remembered. It's easier to remember rhymes than it is to remember something unrhymed. But as I say, we're not in that position of the first composer, the first writer. We come at the end of a long, long history of writing. And I think that everything we do is very much conditioned by that. It is important, I think, for people to know that. And in fact, we're talking here mostly, I guess, about fine art, about poetry or about serious fiction, but it's even more important in professional writing and in genre of fiction to know exactly what you're doing. I mean, you are not at liberty to make these things up. If you're a magazine writer, you write to a formula. If you write a Gothic romance, you write to a formula. You have to know what it is. You can't just crank out any old thing and send it in because the publisher's not interested. And anyone who's ever written for a magazine or newspaper knows that there are conventions that have to be followed. Well, this is just another aspect of a tradition and of the way that writing is not only influenced, but sort of self-generated or created by what's been done before.
Do the writing conferences teach a formula?
Well, I think that, again, I mean, in what we're calling serious writing here, writing which is expressive of the individual, most expressive of the individual, there really aren't so many formulas. The individual really finds his or her own way. And there are, however, there certainly are formulas that people need to know. People, not so much to achieve this kind of expression, but, you know, just to keep themselves from making simple mistakes. I don't think, however, that writing is something that can be learned by the numbers.
How does George Mason's writing program different from other writing programs in the area?
The actual curriculum doesn't differ very much. Students who are degree candidates at Mason take courses that are probably very similar to the kinds of courses they would take elsewhere. Our program is somewhat different, however, in that we have had a number of visitors this year, writers who have spent periods of time in residence. We have the April Symposium, which was mentioned, and these events are not only of interest to the people who attend them and take the full advantage of them, but I think that they create exactly the kind of ferment and interest among the people who are here regularly that is desirable. There is a sense of identity for those people who are in the writing program. I think a sense of solidarity. A sense of many people working together toward the same end. They're really not working together. They're working toward individual goals, but it helps if you undertake something that's as difficult as writing can be, to have a little company.
Cindy B. Bryan and Ishmael Reed have been here already this semester as part of the writing program. The third guest speaker is?
Nadine Gordimer. She's a South African novelist who has been a thorn in the side of the South African government for many years now. Her novels are really internationally acclaimed, and she's a writer who takes the writer's responsibility very seriously. We sometimes forget in this country just how serious writing is in countries which have different kinds of governments from our own. Think of the Russian Solzhenitsyn, who really believes that a great writer is a kind of second government. Think of the efforts at censorship and suppression of manuscripts. Writers who come from different countries sometimes have a much more highly developed, stronger idea of the vital political role that a writer has, and Nadine Gordimer is certainly one of those.
And she will be here through the Literary Symposium.
That's
as
right.
Well.
She comes on March 29th, and she will be here for that week, and will take part in the symposium on April 4th and 5th.
Thank you, Stephen, for being with us. GMU's Spring Literary Symposium will be held Sunday and Monday, April 4 and 5, with guests Susan Sontag, D.M. Thomas, Edmund White, William Matthews, James Merrill, David Calstone, and Myra Sclareau. The symposium is free and open to the public. For more information on the symposium, call the Department of English at 323-2220. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Jonesy Emba for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.